Just remain standing if you will. And if you've got your Bible, would like to turn with us, we're going to be looking tonight in the book of Mark. Book of Mark, chapter number 10. Mark, chapter number 10. And I'm glad that I've got a trip to take and don't believe it'll be long. Amen. I like that little phrase there. It says, I know I'll not be late. And we have a tendency to get started a little bit late. And I thought when we were singing that song, Brother Bell had to sing, I'd rather be an old time Christian. I thought about singing, I'd rather be an on time Christian than anything I know. Got to work on it. Amen. Amen. All right. Mark chapter number 10, verse number 46 is the text I want to take my text from tonight. And I'm going to preach. I thought it was going to be different for me than I guess how I normally preach. I'm going to use this text, but I'm going to preach about a song. I'm going to talk to you about a song that we sing, a very familiar song, and I'm going to use it as my points, to be honest with you. Verse number 46 of Mark chapter 10, the Bible says, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Well, it's a good thing to cry. Amen. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still. I have to stop right there. Think about the song Brother Hughes sings, Brother Richard Hughes. When Jesus stood still, he stopped by my way. Praise God. Amen. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we're thankful once again, Lord, for the privilege.
Yes, we are.
Sit in the house of God and hear the word of God proclaimed to our hearts. Thank you so much, Lord, for your blessings of life and that which you bestowed upon all of us. Thank you for the Lord and I, how wonderful and true it was.
Yes, Lord, what a blessing.
Thank you again, Lord, for the message.
Yes. Bless them. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated, and I do appreciate that prayer. Well, really, this morning I felt like I was just took a dip in the pool of God's love. Amen. And to be honest with you, I don't want to get out.
Amen.
That's still on my heart. That's still, if I can say it the way Brother Hinkle Little, you said, I just want to waller in his love. Amen. Just waller in it. Amen. But I'm thinking about this story here as the Lord dealt with blind Bartimaeus. You know that Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell the story, but there's some variance in the story. I don't remember now, without going back, I studied it, but I don't have it in front of me, the notes, as to which one did what. But one of them, it's talking about that he met this blind man going in, and another, he met him going out. One of them, there's two blind men. And some people say, well, there's errors in your King James Bible. No, there's not errors. Just one tells a little bit more detail than the other does. Amen.
For example, if I was to say, we had a visitor tonight, we did, but we got two. Was I wrong when I said we had one? No. Now, if I said there's only one, I'd have been wrong. But and the scripture doesn't mention only one. Matter of fact, Mark's gospel, I believe, is the only one that names the man Bartimaeus. And we know him. He's picked up that moniker like Thomas got the moniker, Doubting Thomas. And you go on, people get different ideas. We know him. When we think of Bartimaeus, we never just think of Bartimaeus. We think of blind Bartimaeus. But the Lord met him on the highway side. He's sitting there by the highway side begging. No doubt in my mind he's been there a number of times before. That was just commonplace. But that day something unusual happened. The Lord Jesus showed up. Amen. You say, well, how do you reconcile that, that one says he's coming, another says he's leaving? How do you reconcile that? Jesus could heal him coming and going. That's right. He could have very well healed one going in and healed another one going out. No loss of power, no shortage of power in our Lord's hand. But there's a couple of phrases here that jumped out at me. When Bartimaeus called unto the Lord, then the Lord called unto Bartimaeus. Look at verse number 48. They're telling him to be quiet now, aren't you? See it, verse number 48. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And verse 49, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Jesus called for him. Then you read on, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. He calleth thee. I want to preach tonight on this thought, softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling. Amen. I looked up some facts about that song. Matter of fact, I've got it written here in my notes, the four stanzas of the song, softly and tenderly. Let me read them to you, and they'll be my points. It says, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. The chorus, come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, O sinner, come home. Verse 2, why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercies, mercies for you and for me? Verse 3, time is now fleeting. The moments are passing, passing from you and from me. Shadows are gathering. Deathbeds are coming. Coming for you and for me. And verse 4. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised. Promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon. Pardon for you and for me. Amen. Now, I want to use the words of this song, if I can, and bring you the points and preach the message softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling. I know we're living in dark days. We're living in very sinful days. Days really similar to the days of Lot, the days of Sodom. I said it this morning, that woman was ashamed of her sin. She blushed at her sin, but we're living in a day when they don't blush. They're bold, they're brash, they're proud of their sin. Amen. I'm not just talking about the Sodomites. I'm talking about all kinds of sinners. They brag about how much beer they can drink. They brag about how much fornication they can commit. Amen. They brag about how vulgar their mouth is. And all kinds of things that go on and on and on where they just brag and brag and brag about their sinfulness and they're not ashamed of it. But I'm glad Jesus Christ, in spite of how dark these days are, in spite of how sinful these days are, I'm glad God, the Holy Ghost, and the Son of God is still calling for sinners. Amen. And I believe he will up to the end. He says in the book of Revelation, the Spirit and the Bride say come. Right. Amen. And I believe he's calling. Now, thinking about this song softly and tenderly, it's one of the great hymns that are sung in the churches. It was written by Will. Most songbooks, I believe ours just has his initial L. I'd have that too. His name is Will Lamertine Thompson. It was published in 1880. He lived in East Liverpool, Ohio, and wrote this song. It's been sung primarily as an invitation song. And matter of fact, we sang one this morning. I don't remember now the song that is a lot of times just designated for invitation. I'm like, we don't have to just sing those songs at invitation. Jesus don't just give an invitation at the close of the service. Sometimes at the beginning of the service, the Holy Spirit may be dealing with somebody. And it's good for us to sing those songs and be reminded that Jesus is still calling for sinners to come to His side. Amen. Amen. But this song's a great gospel song in the fact that it talks about Jesus and His offer of free pardon from sin. Amen. And I appreciate the song and the way that it's written. Will Thompson was born November the 7th, 1847. Lived through the Civil War. Actually lived until September the 20th, 1909. Mr. Thompson built a nice home in East Liverpool, Ohio, that's still to this day preserved, and they call it the Softly and Tenderly Home. It's what it's known for. He was a man that had made some money. He actually personally purchased a large stone and tablet to mark the spot where the Confederate General John Hunt Morgan and his raiders were captured near Lisbon, Ohio. Mr. Thompson donated land to the city for public parks with the stipulation that no alcohol be permitted on those places. I appreciate men like that. Amen. He opened the W.L. Thompson Music Company in East Liverpool, and by the 1880s was one of the most prominent and successful such businesses in the United States. Thousands of music teachers, musicians, ordered sheet music, instruments, and other supplies from Mr. Thompson's store. He later founded a music and publishing company in Chicago, Illinois. Other hymns that Mr. Thompson wrote that we still use today, songs like "There's a Great Day Coming," amen, and this one, "Jesus is all the world to me," amen, written in 1887 and 1904, respectively. "Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling" was sung by the choir of Atlanta's Ebenezer Baptist Church at the funeral of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. That's how popular it is. It was a favorite of evangelist D.L. Moody. Amen. Most of you know I'm not particularly a big Moody fan, and I'm not to bash Mr. Moody, but he was a very popular evangelist and had great success seemingly, but he never baptized one of his converts, not one. Never started a church. They got Moody Church, but it was started in his honor, wasn't it? But Mr. Moody did do some great things. He just did part of the Great Commission, I believe, in doing that. But Mr. Moody loved that song and admired Thompson and much of his music. And matter of fact, had him sing that song many times in his crusades. And as Mr. Moody lay dying, as D.L. Moody lay dying, people came to visit him. But after a time, they cut it off, said no more visitors. Mr. Will Thompson came to visit Mr. Moody and was turned away. Until Mr. Moody realized who it was that had come to visit him. He sent for him, had him come back. And when he came to his bedside, here's what Mr. D.L. Moody said. Here's a quote. He said, "Will, I would rather have written softly and tenderly than anything I have been able to do in my whole life." That's what Mr. Moody said about that song. And he died shortly after, according to 101 hymn stories. He died with the words of that song on his lips. Now, I said that for this purpose. Softly and tenderly, why does it mean something to us? Not because it's famous being sung at a famous funeral. Not because it's famous being a famous evangelist's favorite song or a very popular song. But I'll tell you why it ought to mean something to us. Because it's biblical. Because it's scriptural. Amen. Now I realize there's a lot of songs and we'll rail on them and we maybe don't sing them. Hope not. Because they're not biblical. I said the other day, a lot of modern songs are written about feelings and they're written about me rather than be written about Jesus and written about what He has done. Amen. Should have been written doctrinal. They're, you know, getting rid of some of that. But this song has some doctrinal truth in it and some great power. One man said this, for it to be a truly gospel song, it must have the gospel in it. Amen. And I believe this one does. It's talking about what Jesus has done and what He's doing. Amen. Now, having said all that, giving you the historical background, let me look briefly at these words. First of all, the phrase, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. In Mark's gospel that I read to you there, we saw Jesus giving this call to a blind man. I believe Jesus has compassion for sinners across the spectrum. Not just one type of sinner. Matter of fact, this man, when Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do? Jesus could have done anything for him. He said, what do you want me to do? He said, that I might receive my sight. When the Lord said, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. W-H-O-L-E. I don't believe just his sight was healed. I believe everything was taken care of. When Jesus saves you from your sin, I don't know what He might deal with you about. I believe He deals with different people on different levels. And whatever you put between you and God, He's going to make that an issue. If you make it an issue, I believe He'll make it an issue. But when He saves you, for example, He don't just save you from alcoholism. He'll save you from lying and stealing and cheating and on down the line. Amen. When He washes you, He makes you clean from head to toe. Amen. He washes you clean, makes you whole. That's what He did with this blind man. But we see that in our text in verse number 49, that Jesus stood still, I underlined that phrase, and commanded him to be called. Jesus sent somebody to go get that man. Jesus commanded him to be called. And then there in the last part of that it said, and they called the blind man, sent unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Now it's one thing for blind Bartimaeus to call out on the Lord. It's another thing for the Lord to call on blind Bartimaeus. Amen. You may have made a lot of trips to the altar, but when God really deals with you, amen, when other than you trying to deal with God, rather than you trying to ring God's number, when God rings your number, it'll make all the difference in the world. Amen. That's right. Look at verse number 50. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus was busy. He's been to Jerusalem or Jericho. He's getting ready to leave Jericho. I believe that's right in this account. And that's right, as he went out of Jericho, and he's leaving there, so he's got a lot going on. He's got a lot on his schedule. I mean, Jesus has come to seek and to save that which was lost, but he set his face as a flint towards Calvary. He's got work to do, and yet he's got time to hear the cry of one sinner. Amen. He's got time to see the need of somebody sitting by the highway side begging. Amen. I'm glad I've got a Savior that is tender. I'm glad I've got a Savior that is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Amen. And He is able to reach towards us, and He is willing to reach towards us. Amen. This blind man had called out for mercy. Jesus heard him and responded to his call in granting him mercy. Amen. Now, I'm thinking about this softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. It says, calling for you and for me. Is it true that there is a call going out across the land, not just for certain people, but for all sinners? Is it true that there's a call going out over the land that Jesus Christ is interested in drawing all men unto Himself? I believe it's biblical. 2 Peter, if you want to turn there, you know the verses. I'm sure you do. 2 Peter chapter number 3. And verse number 9, Peter's talking about how that they're mocking and how that they're ridiculing in the last days, and they will be, and we know they are. But he says that God's not slack concerning His promise. All right, look at verse 9 is where we're looking at. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. Well, stop just a minute. What's the promise? The promise is judgment. Judgment is coming. He's talked earlier about the angels that fell. He's talked that sinned. He's talked about Sodom and Gomorrah. He's talked about Noah and the things there. I'm telling you, God is not slack concerning His promise. He will deal with sin. Just because He don't pay on Friday don't mean that there's not going to be a payday someday. Amen. You might think you're getting by with it. You're not getting by with it. God's not slack concerning His promise. Why has He not already knocked you in the head? Why has He not already shoved you over the abyss? Why has He not already dropped you off in hell? Just because He's merciful. Amen. Let me read on. I didn't mean to interrupt. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. Oh, yes. Long-suffering to usward. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I can testify the fact that He's long-suffering to usward. Amen. I don't know how long He'll put up with things. I don't know. Impose on his mercy. I wouldn't try to put too much stock. One man said this one time. One man said, you know, I'm going to do like the thief on the cross. I'm going to wait till the last minute and get saved. And somebody said, which thief on the cross? Because there was two of them. And one of them didn't get saved. I wouldn't want to gamble with my soul and say, I'm going to wait.
That's right.
Amen. I wouldn't say I'm going to wait another day, let alone say I'm going to wait until the end of my time, although that's what sinners do. I'll tell you where those thoughts come from. They come from the devil. The devil's trying to get you to wait so he can drag your soul to hell. That's what he's doing. Amen. But Jesus is calling. Why is He calling? Because He's long-suffering to usward. Thank God He's put up with a lot. He's been merciful a long time. Amen. Why is it? Because He don't want sinners to go to hell. He does not rejoice when sinners go to hell. He said in the book of Ezekiel that He doesn't get pleasure when a soul that sins dies in their sin. Amen. God's not an angry, bitter God that gets excited when somebody dies and goes to hell. Amen. I remember when I was working in a glass factory in North Carolina, a young man there had had an altercation with another young man. The other man had stolen his girlfriend. He was dating her. He was actually engaged to her. Another fellow comes along and steals her. Well, in the process of time, they're all living wicked. They're all drinking and carrying on. In process of time, the thief, if I could use it that way, the thief winds up dead. And I remember when they got the phone call that morning at the glass factory, we called the young man Little Sam. Little Sam hung up the phone and he said, so-and-so's dead and I'm glad he's in hell. That's what he said. He said, I hope he burns in hell. There's another man there that was a very vulgar man, that was a very wicked man, an older man, but that incensed him. That made him so angry because he had just had a son to die just a few months before that. And I remember Dwight got angry and tears rolled down his face and he walked over to Little Sam. He grabbed him by the nape of his neck and he said, listen here, you little brat. He said, that man might not mean anything to you, but he is some mama's boy. He was some daddy's boy and somebody loved him and didn't want him to go to hell. But I'm going to tell you, even if no mama loved him, if no daddy loved him, I'm glad there's a Savior in heaven. Amen. There's a God in heaven that loves sinners and does not want them to go to hell. Amen. Amen. He's long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. John chapter 12, if you want to turn back there with me, you know this one as well. Our Lord making a statement about Calvary. John chapter 12 and verse number 32. These are the words of our Lord. If you've got a red letter edition, they're red. You have to believe them. Somebody said, you got to believe them red letters. You really ought to believe it all. Amen. John 12:32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. I believe Jesus is talking about the purpose of His dying on Calvary was that whosoever will could be saved. Amen. Amen. Now, I feel like I probably should put this note in here, and I put it in my notes, that I do not believe that that means that Christ is calling everybody all the time. No. It's not that Christ just flung the door open and said, come when you want to, come when you will. No. That blind man was calling on Jesus, but he never got help until Jesus called on him. Amen. Jesus loved blind men. Jesus had healed blind men in the past. He had the power to heal them. Amen. But there was a time, and here's what I believe the Holy Ghost deals with every person sometime in their life. Sometime, somehow, He enlightens them a little bit. And by the way, if they reject that light, He may never deal with them again. He may, mercy is all it is. He may deal with them again, but he may not. Amen. But when he deals, is the time for you to do business with God. One fellow said it this way, and I think he's right. It'll do you no good to try to answer the phone if it's not ringing.
Amen.
Thank God Jesus is calling sinners. Amen. I'm glad that he called my name that fifth Sunday in June 1974. Amen. He called me to his side. Amen. To his mercy and his grace. He said, calling for you and calling for me. I got to hurry. Number two, and still, or this is B, under number one. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. A, calling for you, calling for me. B, see on the portals, he's waiting and watching. It has the ideas that Jesus is standing at heaven, looking over the portals of heaven, saying, who will come? Who will come? He's waiting and he's watching for you and for me. He has extended his call and he's waiting to see. You know what the scripture said? He stood still. He stood still. Now, did coming to Jesus save Bartimaeus? What then, was he saved by works? No. Did throwing his garment aside, by the way, I don't believe that many came to Jesus naked. I believe it meant that beggar's garment, that over garment that was on him. He cast that aside and he came to the Lord. Amen. Putting away things doesn't save you. Amen. It's not works that saves you. What is it that saves you? Jesus is what saves you. You can say coming to Jesus. You can say calling on Jesus. You can say believing on Jesus. Whatever you want to say. But it's Jesus that makes a difference. Amen. He's waiting. He's waiting. You see, men have no excuse. When they stand before the throne of God, they'll have no excuse for rejecting the Son of God. For refusing the call of Christ to be saved. This word waiting speaks of his tender long-suffering. He waits, I believe, wishing that men would be saved. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't know. You remember when he stood over, I believe he was on a mountain and he looked over Jerusalem? You remember what he did when he looked over Jerusalem and saw his sheep having no shepherd? He didn't get incensed at them and say, you bunch of rebels. No, he wept over Jerusalem. He wept over Jerusalem. And he talked about how oft, oh, how he wanted to draw them. How many times had he wooed them? How many times had he offered to draw them to himself as a hen gathereth her chicks? Amen. But they would not. He's longing to save. I believe that's right. He's waiting, but he's watching. That means that he's eagerly looking and watching for someone to come to him. And then it says, watching for you and for me. Amen. I believe that emphasizes the fact that it is an individual dealing that God does. Amen. It's an individual dealing. I've heard of husbands and wives both getting saved at the same time. Amen. But they didn't get saved on each other's coattails.
Right.
It's the fact that God dealt with both of them. Amen. For example, in a church, we'll say in a congregation this size, God may come and he may deal with one person on one pew, or he may deal with one person on one pew on one side of the church and somebody on the other side of the church. He may deal with a whole family on one whole pew. He's got the power to deal with them as he sees fit. Amen. And I'm glad that he does. Amen. But he's watching. That's what the scripture says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. You know what? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He's giving the pleading and he's waiting. He's watching. He's wanting you to come to him. He said, and I will give you rest. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Here's what the Bible said. Who will have all men to be saved and to come under the knowledge of the truth. Thank God Jesus is willing to save whosoever will.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 2 starts out, why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading? I think about this story in Mark chapter number 10 that I read to you. They told him to arise because he's calling. Verse number 49, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good comfort, rise. He calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. He didn't wait. He didn't tarry. He heard the cry. He wanted what the Lord was offering him. Amen. Amen. This is going to sound a little bit carnal, but it's in my mind, and I believe that it's right. When Jesus calls sinners, we ought to be like they used to be on The Price is Right, when they'd say, so-and-so, come on down. And they'd come down, wow, carrying on. I'm telling you, we got a better deal. The Price is Right on this thing of salvation. Amen. We got a better deal than Bob Barker ever offered anybody. Amen. When Jesus offers salvation, when He offers Himself to us, don't sit back there and wait. Don't say, well, I'll take my time. I'll wait a little bit longer. No, I tell you, you ought to run to Jesus. Spurgeon would say, fly to Jesus. Amen. Amen. You ought to hurry. Why would we tarry, it says. I ask the question, why would anybody tarry? Amen. Why would they tarry? I'm going to tell you why people tarry. Because they don't believe. If they really believe that there's a literal burning hell under their feet, if they really believe that the sins of mankind is dragging them and pressing them towards hell, if they really believe that Jesus has the power and the will to forgive sins, if they really believe that, they'd run. They'd not tarry. If they really believe that time is fleeting, and we'll get to that in a little bit longer, if they really believe that time was running out quickly for them, they wouldn't tarry. But deep down, they believe that there may be a hell, and that sins may get them there, and that Jesus could forgive them, but not today. It's not going to happen today. I've got plenty of time. I'm going to wait. I'm going to tarry. And they're listening to the lie of the devil. Amen. Listening to the lie of the devil. I say, why would anyone tarry? And he asks the question, when Jesus is pleading. Amen. Amen. Turn to John chapter number 3. Let me show you some things in the book of John, if you will. Look with me there. Jesus is pleading. I believe He's pleading with the Father on our behalf. But He's pleading, His Spirit is pleading with our spirit, calling us in repentant faith. Amen. To trust the Lord Jesus. To come to Him for forgiveness. He has done that for over 2,000 years now since the cross. The Holy Spirit has drawn men to Christ. Amen. For forgiveness and for salvation to all who believe. John chapter 3, verse number 18. Again, the words of our Lord. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. You see that? Condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Amen. Why does he do what he does? He does what he does because he don't believe he's condemned. Amen. You say, what would cause a man to repent? Because he really believes. Amen. What would cause a man to come to Jesus? Because he really believes. Amen. And I could go on and on about that. But also right here in John chapter 3, verse number 36, our Lord says this, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You see that judgment of God bearing down on sinners. How do you get that off? You got to run to Jesus, is what he's saying. John chapter 5, verse number 24. John chapter 5, verse number 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Amen. Jesus is talking about the power of coming to Christ, the power of trusting Him and being saved by the good grace of God. 1 John chapter 5, you don't have to turn, verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Just that simple. Amen. Jesus makes a difference. He's pleading. Why would you tarry? Why would you tarry? When Jesus is calling. The third verse says, time is now fleeting. The moments are passing. That's my third point. Time is now fleeting. The moments are passing. You see, the warning intensifies. How did he do that with blind Bartimaeus? Jesus was not walking toward blind Bartimaeus. He's walking away from him. He's leaving Jericho. Far as I know, the last trip that he's going to make to Jericho has just been made. Amen. Blind Bartimaeus realizes it's the Lord, possibly before the Lord gets to him, as the Lord is coming towards him, and he starts calling out, and the Lord walks by him, perhaps, I don't know, and he calls unto him. But the Bible says they tried to shut him up, but he wouldn't shut up. He cried out, "The more, thou son of David, have mercy." So Jesus stopped. I personally believe he'd walk past him. He's already by him, leaving, walking away, but he stopped. Thank God for the mercy of God. Amen. Thank God for the mercy of God. God could have sent judgment yesterday. You could have died in that car wreck. You could have died of that sickness. You could have went to hell in your sin. Amen. I remember hearing Brother Hall tell those stories about being in Vietnam, about that antenna getting shot off right there by his ear, and talk about how he was that close to going to hell. Amen. Listen, you don't know how close you were, but by the good grace of God, God spared you to this moment. Why would you tarry if he's calling you now? Time's fleeting, time's running out. The intent, the warning and intensifies. Every hour that passes by means there's one less hour to call on Jesus. You're closer to eternity. Time is fleeting. That said, that there's coming a day when the last opportunity will pass. It's running out. Running out of time. The moments are passing. Moments pass pretty rapidly. Amen. One of these days, Jesus is coming. He's coming quickly. The Bible says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Amen. That's how quickly your time can run out. Moments are passing. They're passing rapidly. Brother Hall mentioned in his prayer about, I don't remember if it's tonight or this morning, but about 50 years of marriage and how the end, that's a long time on earth, but in the sight of eternity, just a very short time. Amen. If 50 years is a very short time in sight of eternity, and it is, what is a moment? Moments are quickly passing and they're getting away from you. It's as if sand is running through your fingers. The sand in the hourglass is running out and you're out. There may be more sand gone than there is left. You better call on the Lord while there's time. That's what the song said. And I believe what the scripture teaches. Amen. It's passing. It goes on to say, it's passing for you and for me. Again, that shows us how personal this call is. It's not just for the millions that are lost in heathen darkness in a foreign country, but it's for you and me. We're included in the fact that time is running out. I remember some years ago, we were at Faith Baptist Camp in Waseca, Georgia. Brother Wash Pennington was there. Brother Hall, you might have been there, probably were in that time, I don't know. Brother Pennington was there, and he was there a number of times, but they had stacked up on the side over there all these boxes, and you could come get boxes and mail them off. There were tracts for Faith Baptist Camp. But Brother Sammy got Brother Wash to come up and tell some stories about missions work and about tracts. And what I remember Brother Pennington did, he had a list, and he talked about this particular, it was back in the 90s, but that this was going on, but he was talking about how in the 80s, you know, the Iron Curtain opened and we had some of these Soviet bloc countries start drifting off and the Soviet Union was losing its power and doors were being opened. And I remember Brother Pennington said this. He talked about what day that door was opened to that particular country. And I'll just say Lithuania, for example. He said, "What did you do to get the gospel to Lithuania?" He talked about how that door was open, how long it had been closed, and how lost those people were in their need. He said, "What did you do to get the gospel to them?" Then he'd stop and say, "Forget it. It's closed now. The door's closed." And he'd tell about another country, and he'd tell about when it opened, and he'd say, "What did you do to get the gospel there?" I felt like I was about to say, "Hi, Brother Bale," because I felt like I didn't do anything to get the gospel to those people, and the door was shut, and our opportunity is closed. Amen. Now, I know God's got all power. God can get the door open. He can open doors can't nobody close. Amen. But at the same time, I don't want to impose on that again. I don't want to just say, "Well, I'll just leave it up to God." No, if God's calling, I want to do what God's telling me to do while I've got opportunity to do it. Amen. Amen. Well, let me find my place. He says it's pleading for you and for me. He goes on to say, shadows are gathering. Deathbeds are coming. Those shadows that are gathering, I believe he's talking about the coming events for those that wait, those that put off the Lord Jesus. There's a deep shadow that hangs over the head of every person that is without Christ. And the shadows are not getting brighter. They're getting deeper. Amen. The fog's not letting up. It's getting thicker. The shadows are gathering. Deathbeds are coming. And by the way, when they get to that deathbed, and they, as they say, they flatline, you can forget praying then. You can forget witnessing then. You can forget calling on God then. Amen. If you're going to call on God, if you're going to live with Him in eternity, you got to get to Him in time. Amen. There's no such thing as bringing your candles and let's light a candle and pray for the dead. That's made up to make money off of people. Amen. That's a false religion, false doctrine. You can't pray them out of purgatory because they're not even in purgatory. When they die, if they're lost, they're like the blind man, they'll lift up their eyes in hell. Before somebody can call 911. Before the first responders can show up. Amen. Before their body hits the floor, they may already be in hell. If they're saved, thank God they're in heaven. Amen. By the good grace of God. Amen. Well, let me give you my last point. I talked about this calling, the intents. Thank God Jesus is calling. Amen. He says this in verse number 4. Oh, for the wonderful love He has promised. Amen. Promised for you and for me. This wonderful love. He's making this last plea in verse number 4. This last plea for sinners to come. Amen. He talks about that wonderful love. The love of Christ ought to constrain you. The love of Christ, you see, recognize His love, it ought to draw you towards Him. Amen. I believe our Lord's first sermon that is recorded word for word is found in John chapter 3. If you want to turn back there with me, we looked at verse 18. We know He preached repent for the kingdom is at hand back in Matthew. But this first, it looks like dialogue with this man Nicodemus in the book of John. We know about the wedding and the miracle performed there. But His first sermon now that He's preaching that seems is to an individual. It's a religious individual. This sermon's on the fact that ye must be born again. Amen. And here's what our Lord says in verse number 16 to this religious individual that's still yet lost in his sin, can't understand being born again. Jesus says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, what love. John chapter number 15, our Lord makes a statement about that love. John chapter 15 and verse number 13. John chapter 15, verse number 13. Jesus says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Romans chapter 5, if you'll look at that, there's three verses right together in Romans chapter 5. We could quote them, but it'd do you good to look at them. Romans chapter 5. God loved the world. He loved the world so much that He gave His Son. Amen. The Son said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life. So the Son laid down His life in love. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died. Who did He die for? For the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. Amen. Here's what He's saying. Oh, what love. that He has promised us. He loved us enough that He gave His only begotten Son. The Son loved us so much that He gave His life for us. And He didn't just give it for us when we were good. He gave it for us when we were bad. Amen. He didn't look over the portals of heaven and see a little something good in us that caused Him to love us. No, He looked over heaven and He knew there was nothing good in us. And yet He loved us anyhow. Amen. Thank God He did. But it's His love, He said, that He has promised. Turn back to John chapter 6. You know these verses, John chapter 6. The promise that He's made about His love. This is a great promise. You ought to drive a nail in this and lock her down for yourself. John chapter number 6 and verse number 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. What's His promise? His promise is all encompassing. Amen. His promise is that if you'll come to Him, He will save you. Amen. He will forgive you. There's not a person, there never has been a person that Christ could not and would not save. I believe that. There has never been a person who was too much of a sinner for the blood of Jesus Christ to be able to wash him or her and make them clean. Amen. Christ has the power. Amen. A person has never gone too far that Christ could not rescue them. Now it doesn't mean that you don't cross a deadline. It means, listen, if He draws a line and says this is the last time, it'll be the last time. It won't be that He didn't have the power. It won't be that He didn't have the will. No, it'll be that you rejected the power of God. You rejected the will of Christ. You kicked against the prick. Amen. You resisted the Holy Spirit. And you'll go on in your sin.
Right.
Amen. You'll go on in your sin. Well, the love of God is so encompassing. Amen. John chapter 5 and verse number 37. Let me just read these verses and I'll be closing. John chapter 5, verse number 37. And the Father, these are the words of the Lord again. And the Father Himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard His voice at any time, nor seen His shape, and ye have not heard His word, and ye have not His word abiding in you, for whom He hath sent, Him ye believe not. Underline that phrase. Verse 39, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. He said, you've seen the Bible. The Bible's been preached to you. Then why are you not saved? He said, because you will not come. Because you will not come. I said it earlier. Is coming to Christ what saves you? Is walking down an aisle what saves a person? Is repenting of their sin? People, they say, that's works, works, works. Listen, why won't you come to Jesus? Jesus said, because you don't believe. Why won't people repent of their sin? Because they don't believe. It comes down just that simple. Belief, faith precedes all that. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. All your works, all your righteousnesses will not please God without faith. Amen. Without faith. But thank God, when you have faith, when you believe, it'll cause you to come to Christ. Why did that blind man cast off his robe? Why did he come to Jesus? Because he believed when Jesus called him that Jesus could and would help him that day. Amen. I don't know what your problem is. You may be blind. I'm talking about to your sin. You may be blind to the things of God. Jesus can give you sight. He can open your blinded eyes. Amen. Here's what it goes on to say. The third thing about that. Though we have sinned, He has mercy and pardon. Pardon for you and me. I'm going to ask you a question. Who needs a pardon? The only people that need pardons are guilty criminals. Amen. As long as you're arguing your guilt, I mean, let's say you've got a court date set. They've come, they've charged you with a crime. They've set the court date. But as long as you're arguing, oh, I've got a lawyer, I'm going to fight this thing, I'm going to kick it, I'm going to plead not guilty, I'm going to plead mercy on the court, whatever you want to say, I'm going to argue this case, you don't need a pardon, you won't accept a pardon. But when the judge puts a gavel on the desk and finds you guilty, then if you hear somebody start talking about a pardon, your ears will perk up. It'll have meaning for it. You know why? Because you've been convicted. Right. Amen. You've been convicted. Thank God this song goes along with the scriptures dealing with the fact that the Holy Ghost is still reproving men of their sin. Amen. He's still convicting them and drawing them to Jesus Christ that they can and will be saved when they come to Him. Are you convinced that pardon, he said, is for you and me? You know what the pardon says? The pardon says, strike that off his record. Amen. The pardon says he's no longer guilty. It's no longer on his record. It's clear and clean. Thank God for the day Jesus pardoned me. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. I want to give an invitation. Is Jesus calling you today? Is Jesus calling you today? If he's calling, you ought to do as that blind man did. You ought to just get up and go to him. Amen. You ought to call on the Lord. Here's what Isaiah said. I meant to put these verses in there. He said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Again, it deals with the fact he can be found, but there may be a day when he won't be. It deals with the fact he's near now. Don't let him get away. Fanny Crosby wrote that old song, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. Matter of fact, that's what they're playing. That's right. All right. You know what she was saying? They said that Fanny Crosby was in a meeting. I don't know if it was a revival meeting. And she heard somebody, a sinner, between the pews, calling on God. And here's what they said. They said, Lord, while on others thou art calling, please don't pass me by. And she went and wrote that great song. I'm glad Jesus is still calling for sinners. Is he calling for you? Is he calling for you? Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the great songs of the faith that stir our heart, remind us of the good grace of God. Lord, I pray that you might draw some sinner this evening over the airwaves, whether it be computer or whether it be over the radio airwaves, even right here in our service. Lord, there's no doubt in my mind that you had a purpose for this sermon. Probably a number of purposes. Lord, if you're dealing with somebody, I pray, Lord, help them not to tarry. Help them not to linger while Jesus is calling. Help them to recognize how swiftly time is fleeting by. Lord, help them to call on Jesus while there's time. Father, I pray you'd help us as saints get the gospel message out again while there's time. Help us do like these men did when Jesus said, you call him, and they went and called him. Lord, help us to call others to your side. Help us to bring them by the good grace of God. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. While we sing, if the Lord spoke to you, you need to come. Obey the Lord. Do what he says. Page number 500. While we sing, would you come?